You are listening to a free version of Majority Report with Sam Steeder. To support this show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder.
It is Wednesday, October 5th, 2016. My name is Sam Steeder. This is the four-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. On the program today, Huffington Post Washington Bureau Chief Ryan Grimm. On the Titanic, is that the word? Debate last night. Kane versus Pence. Who won? What does that mean? What does it mean once we determine what winning means? Also on the program today, are Republican women Trump's secret enemy? Julian Assange announces his October surprise yesterday. The surprise? No surprise. Could Chris Christie have a cellmate? The Govs back together again. And Bill Weld signaling it may actually be about dotting your I's and crossing your T's. Glenn Beck's blaze continues to flame out. And Bill Clinton comes out for single payer, just in the most awkward way possible.
Come on, cut me some slack.
And it is also week four for a national prison strike. Very hard to get information on this, but Alabama continues to be the sort of the epicenter. All this and more on today's program, ladies and gentlemen. We had a late night last night, and then, of course, I had an early morning where my children woke me up and demanded breakfast and food. Food, breakfast.
In addition to breakfast.
Well, you know, just food in general. They needed breakfast. They needed their lunch made. Mila was helpful, but, you know, she still apparently... Nobody makes a sandwich like I make a sandwich. And it's true. I take a lot of care on it. I put a lot of care into the sandwiches. I feel pretty strongly about that. The rest of the stuff, I don't care. But just the sandwiches got to be good. All right. So last night we did a full debate coverage, and it was okay. The debate... You know, it's interesting because we had anticipated that Tim Kaine was going to try and make Mike Pence answer for Donald Trump. And I think to a large extent, Tim Kaine tried to do that. And Mike Pence did an admirable job of lying through his teeth and denying reality, which certainly in the moment looked effective because the moderator, I don't know if she had left the building at one point or had just sort of, she was not good in any
sad.
But there's two things that are going on, and we'll talk to Ryan Grimm about this. But one is, what does it mean to win a vice presidential debate? Because obviously, when you're in a presidential debate, winning means having people say they want to vote for you. Right? At the end of it, people can judge this person won, that person won. But the bottom line is, really, winning the debate means that the polls go up. Winning a vice presidential debate is not necessarily you want people to think you're the best vice presidential candidate. It could mean and I think probably does, that you have made your presidential, your running mate, that much more palatable than the other guy's running mate. And you can do that by slagging the other guy's running mate. You can do that by building up yours. So, I mean, I think while Tim Kaine may not have come off as the best vice presidential candidate, I'm not convinced that he didn't do more damage to Donald Trump and help Hillary Clinton more than Mike Pence did. In fact, it is quite clear, and certainly has become the narrative, and we were talking about this at the end of the debate last night, how Trump would respond to this, that Mike Pence was really trying to make sure that people liked Mike Pence. Donald Trump, not so much. But here is the problem that Mike Pence has, is that the debate is not just about the debate, particularly when it gets a little bit boring. The debate is also about how people react and what the news is the next day. And I guess it was pretty inevitable, and certainly this was probably the game plan. Here is a Huffington Post compilation of all the things that Mike Pence said that Donald Trump didn't say, mashed up with all the times Donald Trump did, in fact, say them. Here it is.
Gentlemen, let's talk about Russia. This is a topic that is
very happy to defend Donald Trump. Donald Trump and Mike Pence have said he's a great leader. And Donald Trump has...
No, we haven't.
Do you like Vladimir Putin's comments about you?
Sure.
I've already said he is really very much of a leader.
Governor Pence said, inarguably, Vladimir Putin is a better leader than President Biden.
That is absolutely inaccurate.
I think it's inarguable that Vladimir Putin has been a stronger leader in his country than Barack Obama has been in this country.
Donald Trump and I would never support legislation that punished women who made the heartbreaking choice to end a pregnancy.
Do you believe in punishment for abortion, yes or no, as a principle?
The answer is that there has to be some form of punishment.
For the woman?
Yeah.
All right,
He's
gentlemen,
going to release his
I need to ask you about
the audit
Social Security.
Is over.
I don't mind releasing. I'm under a routine audit.
Community policing is a great idea. Mm-hmm.
I would do stop and frisk. I think you have to.
Ours is an insult-driven campaign.
Crooked Hillary. Crazy Bernie.
He's a war hero because he was captured.
I don't know what I said.
Blood coming out of her wherever.
If Hillary Clinton were a man, I don't think she'd get 5% of the vote.
Donald Trump has said it. Deportation force. Cannot believe.
You're going to have a deportation force.
He's got kind of a personal Mount Rushmore. Vladimir Putin, Kim Jong-un, Muammar Gaddafi,
and
Saddam Hussein.
Do you stick by the idea that the Middle East would be more stable today with Saddam Hussein and Gaddafi in power?
100%.
You look at North Korea, and you got to give him credit.
More nations should get nuclear weapons.
Don't try to defend my mouth. Well, he never said that.
Maybe they would, in fact, be better off if they defend themselves from North Korea. Maybe
with
we
nukes.
Would be better off, including with nukes, yes.
Donald Trump, on the other hand, didn't know that Russia had invaded the Crimea.
Oh, that's nonsense.
He's not going into Ukraine, okay? Just so you understand. He's not going to go into Ukraine.
You want to use a big tar brush against Mexico?
He also said, and many of them are good people. You keep leaving that out of your quote.
They're bringing drugs. They're bringing crime. They're rapists. And some, I assume, are good people.
Yeah, not so much many people. Some, I assume. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt.
There's a few that I would imagine, after years of smuggling drugs and other petty crimes, are so physically worn out that they can't rape women anymore. So they're less of a threat.
I'm assuming they're okay. So that's what that is. Yeah, we went on an extended riff last night. I've been watching so much Narcos with Escobar. We were wondering how Trump would react when he realized that Mike Pence was running for president in 2020 and throwing him under the bus.
You know who Paul Begala is,
yeah.
Mike?
Yeah, I noticed that. Why do you think Paul Begala would say that? Why do you think he would say that? You were throwing me under the bus.
Wonder why, you know? Paul Begala, I mean, smart guy, right?
But why would he lie?
No reason why he'd lie.
Why would he lie? I don't think he'd lie.
Wait, you don't know who he is?
But you
do know who he is, but you didn't think what he said was true. Which one is it, Meg?
I mean, you kept saying I didn't say anything. Did I not say anything during the campaign? I'm confused now.
Wait, I thought I said a lot of things. I thought that was how I won the Republican nomination.
Yeah, did I? I'm sorry. Did I not say anything? I think I said something. I think there were 17 other candidates, and I think I became... Oh, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I forget about that.
Maybe they all just handed me the nomination because they felt so bad for me, and they knew I'd pick you as vice president, and you'd win everything.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what happened.
Maybe that's what it was. Mike, tell me something. Can you fly? Because I'm just curious. Would you like to take a look at the balcony off the Trump Tower?
Yeah, maybe you'll handle it really stylistically when you're thrown off of the top floor of the Trump Tower.
Oh, let's see how calm you are.
Hey,
Mike. Everybody's telling me you should be calm like Mike. I wonder how calm you are if you're falling from the Trump Tower.
Yeah, maybe you'll look presidential when you hit the freaking pavement.
All right, let's take a break.
Do you look like Ivanka? No? Then why are you trying to screw me like Ivanka?
No. Ooh, we should have had the music going for that. All right, folks, going to take a quick break. When we come back, Ryan Grimm. We are back. Sam Seder on the Majority Report. On the phone, it is a pleasure to welcome back to the program Huffington Post Washington Bureau Chief Ryan Grimm. Hello, Ryan.
Always good to be here.
Let's just tell this story. I understand that you were on that a while back on that right-wing show out of Massachusetts, and your uncle saw you on the Ken, Ken, and Ken show. What was his response?
Yeah, the KKK show. He was like, I don't know how that you kept your cool with those lunatics. Like, those guys were a couple of the biggest idiots that I've ever heard. But you
really
handled them, quite well. I didn't let him in on the little behind the scenes secret.
Oh, good.
I liked him thinking that I know how to handle my way around a right-wing loon when I come across one.
Oh, that's awesome. That's so fun. That has made my day. Oh, my God. We're going to do that every day now. All right. So let's talk about last night.
He might be listening right now.
Oh, really?
Hey, Uncle RG, good. If you're listening.
All right. Well, I hope we didn't ruin it for him, but... So let's talk about last night. What was your understanding of the strategy going into the debate for, I imagine you have better connections with what Cain was trying to do, but if you know more in terms of Pence, tell me what you think they were trying to achieve.
I mean, I think, well, we could do Cain first. I think, you know, a lot of people have realized that if you're going to win a debate, it's going to be done with a viral moment. You know, you're no John Kennedy. Like, nobody knows, you know, what happened the rest of that debate, but it's like presumed that he won it just because of that line. Or I'm not going to make fun of my opponent's youth, use that against him. Like, you know, one line, one thing, make it go viral, make everybody talk about it, and you win. And so I think the Hillary campaign was trying to set up a kind of viral video moment. We accidentally beat them to the punch, which I'm sure they were kind of trying to bait the media into doing it. And we took the bait, which was Pence either failing to defend Donald Trump or lying about what Donald Trump has said in the past, or both.
In fact, we just played that video before you came on. So, indeed.
Yeah,
it seemed like they were teeing that up, essentially.
Right. And because what's he going to do? Like, his choices at that point are to be like, yeah, Donald Trump says that all these women are fat slobs and Mexicans are rapists. And he either then has to agree with that, denounce his own running mate. He has no good options. So they, you know, it's not like the Clinton campaign set that trap exactly. Donald Trump set that trap,
right,
by saying indefensible things over and over and over again. But I think there's two ways of looking at the Trump campaign strategy. A, there is no Trump campaign. B, Mike Pence and Donald Trump have different goals here. I think Mike Pence has probably concluded that Donald Trump is not going to be president. And so Mike Pence is looking out for Mike Pence 2020. And so the best he could do is come out of it looking like he still has some principles intact, and particularly that he could be competitive with the kind of Ted Cruz evangelical bloc 4 years from now.
Right. Yeah, I mean, there was a quality to Pence in terms of Trump of his, like, and what is Aleppo? Like, he was just sort of pretending, like, oh, I didn't, Trump? Who?
Trump? He didn't say that. That's outrageous. There's no way he could have said that.
Of course, I certainly didn't hear it. What was interesting was, and we were speculating last night too. Like, I don't know, we were watching too much Narcos. Just exactly what Trump would do once Pence got back to Trump Tower, he would just push him off the ledge, basically.
I mean, that's the other problem for Pence. If he cares about his relationship at all with Trump, he wasn't allowed to do very well at all. Like, Trump hates nothing more than people outshining him.
Now, I've seen,
you know, Chris Christie caught a ton of flack for for kind of outshining him as a surrogate, and then you never saw Chris Christie again. He was out making McDonald's run.
Do you think, I mean, you know, I saw two different reports. I think one from John Harwood and one from, I can't remember who the other person was, saying that they had talked to Trump aides, and Trump was either pissed or that Pence made a mistake. Like, I don't understand how you go into a debate with, like, okay. I mean, I can understand if you're doing, like, you're playing one-on-one basketball, you're playing golf, right? But how do you calibrate?
You gotta,
like,
miss that putt.
Exactly. How do you calibrate that if you're Mike Pence? Like,
you
just
say, I don't care because I'm running in 2020. Trump's right. Going to lose, and I'm just going to take my lumps when this lunatic yells at me later tonight over something like completely unrelated. It's not like Trump will say, I'm so mad at you for outperforming me in the debate. You know, he'll find something else to be angry about. Pence.
Why'd you have to squint so much? You squinted too much.
Yeah,
he squinted.
Yeah, exactly. And also, Trump can't admit that he lost the debate. So it's impossible for somebody to do better than him because he did turn in the greatest debate performance in the history of debates.
Right. Yeah, he certainly walked off that debate stage thinking that he had won. And I think it wasn't until later where he realized, like, oh, wait, what? No, it was. So, all right, so let me ask you this. I want to just pivot to sort of, like, more broadly speaking. I mean, I think, you know, to a certain extent, what's really clear, too, is that, you know, to the extent that we're going to see any fallout from this debate, it could have been one of those things where Kane gets beat up, but he's delivered that sort of, like, slow motion death kidney punch in terms of, like, you know, where we see it in terms of the videos that the Huffington Post done. I think the Clinton campaign already has an ad out that is basically along the same lines. I've seen reporting now that it looks like Clinton is now pivoting to a base turnout strategy. One of the things that's
true? That implies that there was ever a different strategy.
Well, the one from reaching out to disaffected Republicans. I mean, I mean, that seemed to have been a strategy, was it not? I mean, enough so that even in those like leaked emails from the DNC, they're saying the Clinton people don't want to tie Donald Trump to Paul Ryan and other Republicans.
Well, I think that there's, you can kind of do both without one writing off the other. Like, what they always tried to do was say, we're not going to move on policy at all. You know, so they were rhetorically going to try to cleave Trump from the Republicans so that the Republicans had nowhere to go but to her. But they weren't going to. But they're not going to do any. They're not going to do anything major, like to kind of bring them around to them.
Oh no, yeah, no. I mean, that was sort of the interesting dynamic about it was that on policy, she didn't tack to the center at all. It seems to me it was all rhetorical. But I mean, there certainly seemed to be a de-emphasis on policy, right? I mean, she wasn't bringing up climate change. She didn't change her policies, but she wasn't using that in the campaign. And I think to a certain extent, we saw what was problematic with that last night with Tim Kaine. There was nothing that Tim Kaine could talk about except for your boss is a lunatic,
right.
Which, you know, may prove to be effective, but certainly down ticket, it's hurting. And we also got a glimpse, too, right, of how the Republicans moved past Donald Trump. They just pretend he didn't happen or say anything.
Right, yes. That was one of the key pieces of insight that we could take from that debate. Like, this is how they're going to handle him. Like, what guy? What Donald Trump? But, yeah, I mean, you make a good point. So, you know, how much does Hillary recognize that her fate rests with rallying the progressive base? And I think that'll probably be the defining question of her term and whether or not she gets a second term.
And I think also, I mean, you know, there's a huge, I'm just curious as to what they're going to do in the next debate, because it seems to me there's a huge lost opportunity to not just help down ticket, but to help her insofar as, like, you know, she could get up there and simply say to Donald Trump, your embrace of the Paul Ryan budget would cut Medicare, and make Trump
right.
say, no, I refute. I don't subscribe
right.
to the Paul Ryan. And then all of a sudden, Paul Ryan has to, you know, end his vacation and come back and actually answer a question. Right. I mean, like, it seems to me there's a lot left on the table here. And the things that would rally the base, if that's what the strategy is, to get out and vote, is going to be all the Republican policies that they would get with a Republican dominated government.
Right. And she doesn't have a whole lot of choices left, because, you know, soon she's going to start thinking about governing. And if she has something like a 60% disapproval rating already, that means the people that you're picking from who are ready to, you know, ride with you are few to start with. So, it, you know, you might be able to get some moderate Republicans to hold their nose and vote for you, but they're not going to do diddly for you, you know, after the election or after your inauguration. So, you know, your only friends left are the hardcore elements of the base. And, you know, what she and they can do together is basically the limit of what's possible.
And so, I mean, do you have any sense of what we're going to see in this next debate? Have you heard any talk as to what they're going to attempt to do, or is it going to be more of the same?
Mostly more of the same. I expect there will be a new victim that they will, because the media is kind of easy to play once you figure it out. So, like, right now, if Hillary Clinton mentions the name of a human being, the press is going to swarm that human being.
Right.
They're going to get profiles, like background digging, interviews, looking at, you know, whatever Trump's surrogate or Trump himself says about him or her. And, you know, so the Clinton campaign knows that they can get a day or two of stories out of somebody that Donald Trump badly wronged. Now, there's thousands of those people over his life. So, you know, there's no way that we can guess ahead of time who it's going to be. I presume it'll be somebody that he wronged in a business way.
Yeah, I was thinking a small businessman who went out of business or something like maybe somebody we saw, we've seen architects or suppliers or something like that.
I bet it'll be a woman, and I bet it'll be a Latina if I had to throw money on it. But maybe they'll find another Muslim family that he'll viciously attack. Because like, what you do if you're Clinton is you find the most sympathetic people that are out there, you have them criticize Trump, and then Trump can't help but punch them back, and then everybody's shocked and appalled at Trump's behavior at punching these sympathetic characters. So I expect you'll have some of that, and then otherwise just let Trump be Trump, and she wins.
What did you make of Bill Clinton the other day? We're going to play the audio in a bit, but he was in Flint, Michigan, and he referred to Obamacare as a crazy system. I happen to agree.
Yeah.
And then he pushed single payer by basically saying what we need is a buy-in for Medicare and Medicaid. And I don't know if that's some version of the public option, but I mean, what's behind that? I mean, is he just completely untethered from the campaign? Is he out there? Is this part of like, this is how we're going to motivate the base? I mean, because the other a week ago, he was on CNBC basically saying, this is how I think Hillary is going to basically change her position on TPP. She was, that's basically what he was doing. And, you know, from my perspective, I think that's an indication of what she's going to do on TPP. And I wonder if, you know, we're getting the same signal as to what she's going to do on healthcare. What's your take on that?
I mean, something about Bill Clinton's legendary political skills always seems to leave him when it's put in the service of somebody other than himself. Or particularly when it's put in the service of his wife. Mm. It's quite striking. But Bill Clinton's personality, inner drive, what motivates him, what his hopes, dreams, and fears are, you know, there isn't anything more complicated on the planet than what's going on inside Bill Clinton's head. I couldn't even begin to try to figure it out. But, there's something strange with the way that he has routinely and consistently sabotaged her campaign. I mean, after that Loretta Lynch faux pas where he, days before the FBI is going to, DOJ is going to announce its decision on whether or not prosecute his wife, he like decides to spend a half an hour on a plane with the attorney general. You basically haven't seen him since then.
Right.
I mean, he was, there's duct tape over his mouth. So they finally, I guess they're feeling comfortable enough that they feel like they can put him back on the trail. And there he goes. You know, part of it, some of it is innocent, I think, in the sense that he loves to talk and loves to explain things to people and loves to share his brilliance with the world, and winds up saying things that are politically unhelpful, but I think some of it is on some level purposeful. So you're right. He's right. It is a crazy system.
But it's a little bit off message, it seems to me, for what they're trying to do right now.
Just a little bit. Also, come on, Bill Clinton for single payer. That's like when every president leaves office, they become like for legalizing weed and all these other things that everybody's for, but they were too chicken to say they were for when they're president. So now Bill Clinton's for single payer. Okay, well, great.
But honestly, like, where does that even come from? Like, is he thinking, like, what do you think? I mean, putting aside the sort of like the drama about, you know, can this guy, you know, he's got his own, you know, sort of Trump-Pence dynamic on some level. It's just a little bit more, I think, deeply embedded. I mean, what does he think he's achieving by doing that? Do you know?
Well, he knows that the party has moved left, for sure. And his wife has moved left, as the party's moved left. And I think for his own legacy, he wants to be remembered as a lefty president.
Mm-hmm.
Also, historians are lefty, so in general. So, the more kind of on the message with the contemporary party rather than the 90s Wall Street version of it, the better for his legacy. So, but who knows? It's a weird dude.
Definitely a weird dude. All right. Well, Ryan Grimm, thank you so much for your time today. Really appreciate it. Know you are busy down there. Now, are you guys allowed to get? Are you guys allowed to take that 2 or 3 hour nap now that Arianna Huffington is out? She's not running the place anymore, right?
Nobody around now. It's long lunch and then a nap, right?
Oh no, but wasn't she advocating all the sleep that you guys get? Or no?
She was. Yeah. So either she's there advocating it, or she's not there and not watching. So either way, you're sleeping all day.
Well, there you go. Well, there it is. Living the life, Ryan Grimm. Ladies and gentlemen.
Need a change.
All right. Thanks, buddy. I'll talk to you later.
All right, man.
Bye. Ryan Grimm, ladies and gentlemen.
I'll simplify it for you. That black guy stole my light. I hate him. And you think it's even just subconsciously that I want to sabotage my wife? I consciously want to sabotage her. And by the way,
I want credit.
We need something to do about healthcare, and let me tell you, this is real personal for us with Hillary's Parkinson's. What'd I say? Excuse me.
All right, let's play two more things I think that were indicative of the debate last night. I mean, like that compilation was really, I think, the primary story about the debate. And even to the point where at one point, Tim Kaine has said, I have asked you 6 times whether you agree, which it occurs to me that they must have said, like, make sure you ask him 6 times, remember that it was 6, and note that, because we're going to want to clip that. I mean, on some level, it was literally just like, here's what you got to do. You got to go out. We don't care whether or not they like you or not. Nobody votes for the vice president. Just go out there, and we need these half a dozen things. It was almost as if he was wearing a wire, right? And they were just sending him out to get somebody to reveal these things. Let's do this. Is clip number 3, right, Matt? Okay, so here is, and this is the one where I think like Pence seemed to lose his cool a little bit. For a while he was just doing the whole like.
Well, you don't really mean that. I'm going to squint a little bit more.
There was a little bit of sort of like a whiny. He had a sort of the perfect whiny, aggrieved type of thing. Like, oh, hey, here we go again.
Real right-wing talk radio, right?
Yes.
Like you could really see his background.
Oh, yeah. And yeah, he was. But here is when he sort of, I don't know. I think this is where you start to see the cracks a little bit in Mike Pence.
Support legislation that punished women who made the heartbreaking choice to end a pregnancy.
And why did Donald Trump say that?
We just never would.
Why did he say that?
Well, look, it's he's not a polished politician like you and Hillary Clinton. And so, you know,
well, I would
don't
admit
always
that's not
come out exactly
thought.
The way he means
well,
them, but
can
I'm
I
telling you what are the policy line of our administration
from the great line from the Gospel of
but
Matthew.
From
the fullness of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Yeah.
When Donald Trump says women should be punished, or Mexicans are rapists and criminals,
I'm telling
or John
you.
McCain's not a hero, he is showing you who he is.
Senator, you whipped out that Mexican thing again. Look.
Can you defend it?
There are criminal aliens in this country, Tim, who have come into this country illegally, who are perpetrating violence and taking
American
lives.
You want to use a
lives.
Big tar brush against Mexicans?
He also
on
said,
that?
And many of them are good people. You keep leaving that out of your quote. And if you want me to go there, I'll go there.
What? Where was he going? I don't understand. Like, what was he threatening? Like, oh, you want to see if I will admit that he said that?
Oh, you want me to complete the quote where he said that maybe a couple of Mexicans weren't rapists, and I just completely revealed the fact that you're totally distorting his comment?
Just went there.
Got there. You know what? You want to keep whipping out the Mexicans? I'll whip out the Mexicans my damn self. Are you going to quote the Bible on me now?
Whipped out your Mexican thing
You whipped
again.
Out your Mexican thing again.
Man, you know what? It is such a shame that we don't have a T-shirt store.
You just whipped out your Mexican thing again.
Call Hannity and whip out your Mexican thing. That would have been the All right, let's play one more clip that I think was also indicative of the debate, and that was that the moderator, I don't even remember her name now.
She was awful.
Awful in two different ways. There was a lot of, "Governor, your 2 minutes are up, and so I'll give you just another 2 to 5 minutes. Go ahead." Like, there was a lot of that, except for she didn't say the second part. She said, your 2 minutes are up, and Pence just kept going. And I don't know what it was about Lester Holt that you were at least aware that Trump was just a little bit more brash about sort of walking all over the moderator. But maybe because they were sitting down, it just felt more like a conversation. But she didn't, you know, and there was a lot of like, you didn't answer the question, but it just didn't come through. But worse than that, because look, you know, moderating a debate like that, not easy, not easy. But worse than that was the framing of the questions. I don't know if she sat down with Pete Peterson and said, like, what is the most sort of, I guess, because there was all sorts of debt hawkery. And this is the one, obviously, that got me extremely angry and had me drinking. This is the one about Social Security.
Yeah. On the issue of Social Security, in 18 years, when the Social Security trust funds run out of money, you'll be 76. The Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget estimates your benefits could be cut by as much as $7,500 per year. What would your administration do to prevent this cut?
First, we're going to protect Social Security, which was one of the greatest programs that the American government has ever done. It happened at a time when you would work your whole life. Raising your kids, working, being a little league coach or a Sunday school teacher, and then you would retire into poverty. And Social Security has enabled people to retire with dignity and overwhelmingly not be in poverty. We have to keep it solvent, and we will keep it solvent. And we'll look for strategies like adjusting the payroll tax cap upward in order to do that. Here's what Hillary and I will not do, and I want to make this very plain. We will never, ever engage in a risky scheme to privatize Social Security. Donald Trump wrote a book and he said Social Security is a Ponzi scheme and privatization would be good for all of us. And when Congressman Pence was in Congress, he was the chief cheerleader for the privatization of Social Security. Even after President Bush stopped pushing for it, Congressman Pence kept pushing for it. We're going to stand up against efforts to privatize Social Security, and we'll look for ways to keep it solvent going forward, focusing primarily on the payroll tax cap.
Governor Pence, I'll give you an opportunity to respond.
Well, thanks, Elaine. There they go again. Okay. All Donald Trump and I have said about Social Security is we're going to meet our obligations to our seniors. That's it.
Go read the book.
We've said we're going to meet the obligations of Medicare. That's what this campaign is really about, Senator. And I get this is the old scare tactic that they roll out.
But you have a voting record, Governor.
And I get all of that. I just look.
There's
a question that you asked a little bit earlier.
I can't believe
that
you won't defend your own voting record.
I have to go back to. Look, you're running with Hillary Clinton, who wants to raise taxes by $1 trillion, increase spending by $2 trillion. And you say you're going to keep the promises of Social Security. Donald Trump and I are going to cut taxes.
You're going to raise taxes
so
on the middle class.
So we can meet the obligations of Social Security and Medicare.
All right.
If we stay on the path that your party has us on, we're going to be in a mountain range of debt, and we're going to face hard choices.
All right. So, I mean, obviously, you know, the Social Security, the notion that this is written in stone, all that needs to have happen is that to avoid a 22% to 24% cut that would take place following the trust fund shrinking. And it's not even quite clear that it's going to happen at that point. But let's just assume that it would. Is increase in taxes. Because here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen. We're not going to be able to fund anything if Congress doesn't pass a budget that we're going to see cuts across the board on everything because the country grows and budgets must be increased. That's just the bottom line. But to single out Social Security in that way, and it also strikes me as Kane, you know, just wasn't the type of guy to go to press the point even more. I mean, he brought it up. Pence said it's not about this, but Kane should have just gone further. You're going to, it's not just a question of you're going to raise taxes on the middle class. The issue is you're going to cut taxes for the wealthy over and over again, and you're going to do it at the expense of all these things. You have no plan when you say about Social Security and Medicare, and you've changed your tune on that. But nevertheless, frustrating moments in the debate, frustrating only to people like us who actually watch it that carefully. When the vast majority, honestly, like the vast majority of people who watch it
are going, oh my God, this is boring.
Yes.
Jesus Christ, where did they find these people?
Right. Right. But the VP debate is now in our rearview mirror. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we will talk about Gary Johnson and apparently, well, Bill Weld apparently has decided like now's the time for me to not embarrass myself as much.
Hey, Bill, wondering about some of the things you were saying, man.
Gary Johnson has it coming. Boy, this guy.
Hold on one second. The goddamn earbuds keep falling out of my ears, man.
Also, Alex Jones did not react well to Julian Assange not providing the...
It's epic.
And we will play that clip of Bill Clinton in Flint, Michigan. Sort of bizarre. But all that and more. The number is 646-257-3920. If you want to give us a call, 646-257-3920 is the phone number. Folks, you can support this program by becoming a member. Go to jointhemajorityreport.com, jointhemajorityreport.com. Just pennies a day keeps this show chugging along. 98.6%, I've got to check that with the counting, of our revenue comes from our members. So we need your support. Also, justcoffee.coop, fair trade coffee, tea, or chocolate. Use the coupon code MAJORITY. Get 10% off. Buy the Majority Report blend. Do you buy your crap from Amazon? Do you buy your crap from Jet? You can do either or at MajorityReportKickback.com. Click on the Amazon link. Click on the Jet.com link. Always buy your stuff through those links. We get a kickback. Also, go to majority.fm, support the sponsors, and see what deals we have. If you're a member, you haven't heard the latest, check those out. Also, leave us a review on iTunes. It's very helpful. We have a lot of people listening to the show today. Oh, and we're just, what? How many are we away?
About 500.
We're 500 away from 100,000 subscribers on YouTube.
We're going to make it.
We're going to make it.
We're definitely going to make it.
Kelly has already picked out an entire wardrobe to go along.
Subscribing to iTunes, crazy. Subscribing to YouTube's crazy. It makes no sense.
Kelly's going
to
have her eyewear bedazzled in the same color as YouTube button.
I'm going to have everything I own bedazzled in that color.
Well, you know what we do around here. Thursdays is bedazzling day. That's where we take all of our... We all take an accessory or a piece of our clothing and bedazzle it, and that's... All right, quick break. We'll be right back. 646-257-3920.